It's 12:06 and time for Art-Centric Midday Matters here on WBOY. If you'd like to join today's conversation, give us a call at 260-452-1185, post on our Facebook page, Midday Matters, or send us an email at middaymatters@nipr.fm. I'm Sarah D'Elia, joined in the studio by my Art-Centric co-host in crime, partner in crime, Julia Meek.
Proud to be thought so, and thank you, Sarah. Today we're talking major art centricity, actually, and we're uncovering a hidden treasure, and we're learning what's up with this year's Whammy Awards. In this first segment, it's Fort Wayne Museum of Art's Charles Shepard with a wild tale of artwork quietly collected by G. David Thompson down in Peru, Indiana, and joining us by phone is the collection's curator, Connie Cutler. Then Doug Driscoll, the man behind our weekly What's Up magazine, shares the news and the excitement of this year's Whammy Awards ceremony. And he'll have this year's MC riding shotgun, and that is none other than J.J. Fabini. But first, as we live for, Sarah and I each have a quick pick art tip for you, a sparkling gem among the shining mass of this weekend's local art centricities. You just might want to consider. What's your pick, Sarah?
My pick is something that's starting this weekend and going on for a little bit. It's the National Scholastic Art Exhibit that's taking place at the Fort Wayne Museum of Art. The exhibit's going to be up from February 10th, which is this Sunday, and it's going to run through April 7th. And there's basically, for folks that aren't familiar with it, is we take part in this really awesome art and literature competition, and high school students get awards and recognized for participating in this competition, and the award ceremony is actually this Sunday. I'm going to be there. It's going to be really cool. All the kids get to get up and they accept their awards and get to dress however they like, so you see some really interesting hairstyles and outfits, and it's a good time all around.
And we get to see the art there.
Yeah.
Everything. It's cool.
So then the kids get the satisfaction of getting to see their art up at the Fort Wayne Museum of Art, and it's going to be up till April 7th, so that's pretty neat.
That's wildly exciting.
Yeah, and I actually have one of the award winners, one of their poems, and I was going to play it real quick for us before we dive too far into our show,
that
if that's okay with you.
My pleasure.
All right, well, let's give a listen. This is from a student. Her name is Khalila Lee, and this is read by a local actress here in Fort Wayne. Let's give a listen.
Voice nominee, Khalila Lee, grade 12, Carroll High School. Teacher, Casey Stansifer. Poetry Collection. Sinusoidal love, or love through mathematics. Our love is a sinusoid that stretches out towards the infinities, curving up to the maximums of our joys, the white dress and new apartment, my first job in adopting our cat, Mickey. Slowly, sloping into the troughs of the minimums. Dark days, dying dreams, no cash, scraping together quarters, our food and gas. But through each period, we persisted, together, continuous in commitment. A cosine function could never substitute what we have, withering upon contact, the other's happiness into dust, a tragedy upon conception, pulling each other down, slowly, addicts to destruction. No, at the origin of us, we were zeros, two nobodies making each other somebodies. Building positively into the clouds of bliss, constructing our lives, merging our lives. Meeting love lifts you up, 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 and down, down, down. Only youth's folly seeks risks, thrills of adrenal extremes, trailing discordant threads of exes, makeups and breakups, boy, girl, boy. Abrupt, tangent relationships with unidentifiable heights and descents.
So that's just a little taste of some of the work that's going on with our high school students that are within the Northeast Indiana region. So
what a lovely sampling, and thank you for sharing. And that can all be enjoyed, and including your presentation of awards. When is this?
It's starting Sunday. Yep.
Fantastic. Well, in the meantime, I'm choosing a very art-centric opening reception. I guess I'm getting a little, well, totally, I'm getting into the visual, I guess. Tonight at the Potter's Wife Gallery, a wide and wonderful variety of paintings and ceramics by three fantastic local artists, Samuel A. Minnick, Brian Thompson, and Sarah Thompson. So you can enjoy that fantastically beautiful and historic space and the great artwork and the artists responsible for all of that. And that's tonight, 7 to 10 p.m. the opening at 1421 Broadway, Potter's Wife Gallery.
Great.
In the meantime, it is our great pleasure, as always, to introduce Charles Shepherd, Executive Director of the Fort Wayne Museum of Art. Hello, Charles.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
And on the line, we have Connie Cutler, who is in Peru High School. She is the second half of the project that we're going to be talking today. Connie, welcome to Midday Matters.
Thank you so much. I'm so pleased to be asked to be with you.
So, Charles, let's start off with you from your vantage point. How did this partnership, really, between the Fort Wayne Museum of Art and Peru High School come to be?
Well, this partnership actually began at the Scholastics Award ceremony when one of the Peru High School art teachers pulled me aside to say, you know, this is going to sound unbelievable, but I have to blurt this out. We have an amazing art collection. It's hidden under the stairs. It's gorgeous. It's, you know, museum quality. And I thought, yeah, boy, he's just a little wound up. But it proved to be true. That kind of statement requires a trip. Mm-hmm. So the road trip happened, and I saw exactly what he meant. They did have a fabulous collection, and I just got a little sampling that day. And so over the last, you know, let's say 2-3 years, we've worked together to find out how deep those treasures go, and they go pretty deep.
I'm kind of curious about the gentleman whose collection this once was and how it kind of got to Peru High School. So, Connie, I'm going to let you kind of answer that. Could you give us a little bit of background information about that?
Sure. G. David Thompson is just a very interesting character, and he was originally born and raised in Peru, graduated from Peru High School, but moved away and became a wealthy Pittsburgh industrialist, ended up starting several steel companies, and along the way collected art. And really, he was one of the premier art collectors in the Pittsburgh area, collected several modern artists at the time, Picasso, Klee, Baroque, lots of different individuals. And because he had a great love of Peru and still had ties to Peru, he started giving pieces to Peru High School back in the 60s and 50, actually started in 40s and 50s. And so he gave pieces, kind of developed a tie with the current art teachers at Peru High School, and we just accepted them. They were hung on the walls of the old high school. Students would go by and see them all the time. Now we've kind of collected them along the way and put them in a larger collection. But he was an interesting gentleman and really had an eye for art and collected pieces specifically for Peru High School. So it's a wonderful collection that he was able to put together and allow us to have and enjoy.
My question would be, and thank you very much for joining us, did the locals know about this collection all through the time and, of course, and know about his own love of art through all these years?
Well, kind of not so much, I guess. It was always hung on the schools. I think students and teachers kind of took it for granted, and it wasn't until as time passed, we have a local group get together to try and protect them and save them. The Art Collection Advisory Board was started in the late 70s because some of the pieces had gotten damaged. They were hung on walls where they had coal and oil furnaces. I mean, no protection whatsoever. So we put them together, had them restored, and now they're currently mostly in storage, but the exciting thing is starting in April, actually our opening date will be in April, we'll have a gallery space that will be available for the public to come and see these works of art. And we have over 150 pieces of art currently right now that have joined the collection. He started with 75 pieces and it's grown since then. So it's quite an extensive collection for a public high school.
Indeed, and certainly you come from a very, very art-centric county down there, but this has to kind of dazzle everybody. And now a question for Charles. Has this happened in your own professional career when a collection like this just pop out of nowhere?
You know, it's folklore, so to speak, that other curators have run into situations like this, but honestly, I've never seen it, and I don't know that I believe those tales. This is really one for the books. Mm-hmm. Let me add to what Connie was telling you about Mr. Thompson, because lest anybody think that he was, you know, just sort of a random collector, he collected thousands of works. He collected the best of the time, which would be pre-World War II, just after World War II, and he was a significant collector, sufficient that the Guggenheim Museum family, the Guggenheim family, called him occasionally to come to the Guggenheim and show his works off. So he's not a dabbler. He's taken very seriously.
Indeed, and the rest of the, good parts of the country realized that too.
Yes, and something else they realized at the same time, Julia, is that he was sort of an eccentric person. He's not the easiest person to deal with, according to all the stories we've heard. And so some liked him, and some perhaps didn't want to play ball. So some of the museums that he might have been very generous to, and other societies, in the end, it didn't work, because they oil and water, I guess, is what I'd say.
It's kind of amazing that just personality clashes can make a really amazing opportunity just pass you by in the world of art.
Or find you. Find you.
Well, you know, Sarah raises a very interesting point, because personality clashes are prevalent in every decade of the arts, and we somehow get over them. So I think we might be talking about an extreme here in some respects. Now, we do know he was very hard at driving a bargain. For instance, he would go into a gallery, and instead of buying a piece or two, he might buy everything in the gallery, but then drive a very hard bargain to get it at a good price. So maybe part of this personality is he's a tough nut coming from the industrial world.
A real business.
Yeah, I'm not going to fool around in this art
world. Sure. Yeah, but he knew what he liked.
I'll take them all for a penny and a pound.
One of the things that happened in Pittsburgh is before his death, he did offer his collection to the Pittsburgh Art Museum, and they turned him down. And so I read an article a few years ago, and it said if they had kept that collection, it would have been worth over $350 million in today's value. But they just didn't like him or like the collection, and they turned him down, and he sold it elsewhere. It was very interesting.
I would like to remind all of our listeners that this is Midday Matters Friday, ultra art-centric, I'd have to say, and we are presently discussing the unearthing of a fantastic collection down in Peru, Indiana, of art that was once owned by G. David Thompson and is now proudly owned by Peru's high school. We are talking with Connie Cutler, the curator down on that end, and Charles Shepard, Fort Wayne Museum of Art's director, who is working on sharing it with the Fort Wayne area. So, another good thing to remember is that sharing art, this is going to be on display now.
Yes, and it's very well attended.
And traveling then, or when will it go, when will it finally come back to its home at the high school?
It is coming back to the high school after the exhibit at the Fort Wayne Museum of Art, and that, I believe, is until February 24th. It will be coming back home, and we will have it open. Our opening date is April 21st. We have a brand new gallery space that the school board and the school corporation voted to, in today's very, very tight budget, give money to develop this larger room so we can have it on permanent display. So it will become available to students and to the public, available for anyone to come see. So it's going to be a fabulous space to have that instead of just tucked away in storage like it's been for the last 40 years.
This is a dream come true.
It is.
I was wondering, Charles, if you could talk a little bit about some of the specific pieces that we have in Fort Wayne. I know some of them are from artists like Picasso and Monet that you can't find anywhere else right now.
There are really some, let me back up to say there are great, great artists in the show and big names, but there were some really quirky pieces that would just amaze people. For example, Salvador Dali, who adored Picasso and as a younger artist tried to gain his favor in every way he could, and Picasso rebuffed him most of the time, but he was able to get Picasso to sit for a portrait that he did of Picasso. Hmm. Now, if you think of all the images that come to your mind with Dali's melting watches and strangeness, this is actually a very tender and realistic portrait of Picasso. And after he got done, he put a little laurel wreath around the master's head because he was the god of modern art. I think that's a very quirky piece. Mm-hmm. And above that piece, we've hung a Picasso, you know, from his Blue Period, which is, you know, kind of a perfect match. Mm-hmm. So that's a pairing that you really need to see, if nothing else.
It is a total one-time chance to see such a clever little framing.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Another piece that's really worth a visit is the William Merritt Chase. Now, William Merritt Chase, landscape, seascape painter, early 20th century. And you'll see a lot of Merritt Chase in big museums. This Merritt Chase that Peru High School has is the best I've ever seen. And it actually channels a lot of a Whistler's attempt to have total monochromatic effect in a naturalistic scene. So the little boats that float on the water in the fog are barely there. They're hanging by a thread, which makes this a very, very important painting. Even though during a tour yesterday, I was asked, but why is it so dull looking? I said, it's by intent. Trust me, it's by intent.
So there's all kinds of, insights within insights right here in this one collection, thanks to one forward-thinking and certainly art-centric oriented person, G. David Thompson, and actually, I think it speaks well, Connie, and you could confirm that to the whole county and certainly to Peru, that he did love his high school and was impacted by his art teacher there to share such an exhibit collection with you all.
Absolutely, we are just thrilled, and we're privileged to be able to try and protect this collection, and now to have it available for the community and individuals to come see is just, as you said, a dream come true. It's just something that we never dreamed we'd get to this stage. It's always been owned by the high school, and I think that's one of the most unusual things mm-hmm. in the country. There's
Indeed.
Not very many art collections owned by a public high school, so this is quite exciting and to see. And besides which, the pictures themselves are very much worth viewing and seeing. And seeing the, it was given to the high school as a teaching tool, truly, with all the variety of mediums, styles, and picked by David Thompson, particularly for Peru High School. So it's quite an interesting collection, and well worth a drive down to Peru if you all have a chance.
We have a caller on the line who actually went to see some of the art at the Fort Wayne Museum of Art here. Bonnie, welcome to Midday Matters.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, thanks for calling.
I enjoyed the collection very much yesterday. I thought it was lovely, and the story of Peru High School just made it all the more enchanting, but it stands alone as well. And my question is, are there any sketches, paintings done by Mr. Thompson that anyone still happens to have? I believe he started off as an art student and wanted to paint and draw. Is that correct?
Connie?
I don't have anything on that background of G. David Thompson. He was always a collector, even when he was a young child at age 10 or 12. He was going around collecting different artworks done by just local itinerant painters in Peru. So I'm not sure that he really had a background of wanting to produce art himself. He was truly, truly a collector, as far as I can tell from the background.
Okay. I thought that would be interesting if he just gave it a try and anyone had one, but maybe it's better that we don't.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps out of frustration, Bonnie, he may have become a collector because he wasn't adept, so
right.
It might have turned him in the right direction.
Thanks
right.
for
well, we're lucky that he went down that road.
Thanks
Thank
for
you
your help.
And he obviously had a very good eye because he collected such unusual pieces, and really, with his backing, he brought several artists to light that the society had not heard of and that type of thing. He was always collecting just the newest, most modern artwork at the time.
I'm kind of curious, and I'd like to hear from both of you, but I'll start with you, Charles. Especially you work with a lot of collectors probably in your line of being the executive director of the Fort Wayne Museum of Art. What kind of mentality does somebody who collects art have versus somebody that is a producer of art? You spoke maybe a little bit about kind of the frustration that someone may not be able to produce the art, but they still have a love and appreciation for it and want to kind of grab as much of it as they can.
Now, this is a general approach to that question, but what I've found is that those who've excelled at making art have tended to keep their own art and their friends. And their collecting is sort of around those that they know, make, and trust, and trade back and forth. Now, that's not always the case, but generally that seems to be the case, because maybe your making is the focus of this. Now, for those who've gone through, you know, a little bit of art training in school and moved on in their life, I think that love of the art, which maybe got into the class in the first place, continues, and that produces the collector. Now, probably what goes with that too, practically speaking, is like G. David Thompson, sometimes when you leave the art field, you actually make enough money to collect. So
that would be handy.
Yeah, see, that would be handy. Yeah. So maybe that's how that goes. But frequently when I've met with collectors, they will tell me, well, you know, I wasn't much of an artist, but I loved my teacher and I loved my school and I loved those books. And later I just had to have the paintings. So there's almost always a thread of the love there that carries them through, even if the talent wasn't there.
That sure makes sense. And, well, it's one of the drives that make things like this happen, these bright and shining stars. And kind of on that note, and it's, again, it's a question to Connie as well as to Charles. Okay, this is a dream come true. It's beyond a dream come true. What are the, have there been any surprises just with getting things ready and displaying it, or the logistics of figuring out how to display it? And of course you talk about repair and everything. What are some of the best surprises, and maybe have there been any bad surprises just in working with such a massive collection?
Well, quickly, the best surprise, excuse me, can I go, you go right ahead.
Well, one of the surprises we had, it was very interesting, and this has been a few years ago, but we had an artist that we sent down to have the picture restored, and so they called us back and said, what do you want us to do with these two pictures? And we're like, two pictures? We just set you down one. And they said, no, we have two. Behind the first picture was a second picture. Clifton Wheeler was the artist, and the first one that we sent down to be cleaned was a landscape. Behind that was a portrait of an old Amish gentleman, and you could see he used it as a backboard. It was a lovely painting. So I don't know, but we ended up with two pictures. It had been that way for 50 years because the people that donated it to us did not know about that second painting, and so when the restorers took it apart, now we have two by Clifton Wheeler because of that very instance. So that was a wonderful surprise. That's very interesting.
Very good surprise. And now, Charles?
Yeah.
Well, the surprises that I've seen, let's focus on students for a minute, because Peru High School does very well in the Scholastics Art and Writing Competition. Mm-hmm. They do very, very well. And yet, I think many times, you know, we're sort of local-centric. And you think, who are these kids doing these great things from Peru? Well, this exhibit has brought other students in and heightened their respect and recognition for Peru High School, because they think, wow, no wonder these guys are good. Look at this collection they have. We don't have a collection like that. And I think that's been a beautiful exchange.
Beautiful indeed, and most interesting. And who could have guessed?
That's right. You couldn't predict it. But, you know, Carroll High School students were in just the other day, and you could see them nudging each other going, wow, this Peru High School is pretty cool.
Circus Town,
so it's all good, Connie.
Yeah, it is all good. And again, I think that we expect maybe we have an unrealistic expectation for all things art-centric from such a productive and art-centric county. So, sorry, you're stuck with it, Connie.
That's okay. And we want to commend the school board for recognizing the fact that this art history, this art background is worthy of attention and dollars and time. And so that type of thing, I think, only helps enhance our county for the art and the ability that we do have. So it's very exciting.
And commendations to all. And again, it really does all build the image of your county and Peru's itself, art centricity and good thought. Mm-hmm. And yes, we thank them for it too.
We have just a couple more minutes left in the first half of today's show, but we have one more caller that I'd like to get to before we switch gears. Jim, welcome to Art Centric Midday Matters.
Thank you. I was wondering if there's any educational program, open house, or opening for this show.
There have been several programs run so far for the program. We still have tours happening on second Thursdays for this collection. And if you just go to our website, you will find the dates and times for those, and we welcome you there.
And Connie?
We will be hosting our open house for a brand new gallery and space and permanent hanging for the collection, and that will happen on April 21st, 1 to 5 p.m. at Prue High School. Come anytime during that time, and you will be able to see our complete collection hung. It's 401 North Broadway, Prue, Indiana.
Great. And we have one more caller, and then we really do need to take a break for the news. But before we head out, James, welcome to Friday Art Centric.
Thank you. I'm a graduate of Peru High School, and my art instructor, Wayne Taylor, when I was there, introduced me one time to George David Thompson.
Yes.
He was quite the collector, and that collection at Peru High School, I mean, they have the Dali portrait of Picasso is outstanding, but they have this really nice steel plate of Picasso's from the Blue Period, I think. And they even have a Gilbert Stuart original, very large portrait of George Washington.
Well, we haven't confirmed that it's Gilbert Stuart, but it's definitely done in the manner and style, and Gilbert Stuart.
Oh, it is not Gilbert Stuart?
Well, we're not sure. It really wasn't signed, and he had so many individuals that copied him, so I would not say without question it is a Gilbert Stuart, but it's definitely on the line of that. Yeah.
It's another new mystery to track, too. That's exciting.
There you go. Yes, that's absolutely true.
Are you the curator of the collection?
Yes, I am.
Pardon? What is your name, please?
My name's Connie Cutler.
Oh, Connie Cutler, okay.
Yes.
Thanks so much for your call, James. And interesting to hear from somebody who has actually met the man himself who is responsible and what brought us to talk here during the first half
and
of today's show.
We know G is George now.
Yes.
That's another mystery solved.
There you go.
Well, Connie, thank you so much for being a part of Artcentric Midday Matters today.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. It's always fun to talk about the collection.
And Charles, thank you as well for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure to see you. We're going to have to take a quick break on WBOI here for the news. But before that, I should say that support for Midday Matters on WBOI is provided by Reinbold and Anderson, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Take the guesswork out of your retirement plan. More information on Reinbold and Anderson on the web at reinboldandanderson.com. And support is also provided by United Way of Allen County, ensuring children and youth have opportunities and skills to succeed in school and life. UnitedWayAllenCounty.org/education. We'll be back with more Friday Art Centric here on WBOI in just a few moments.
It's time to...
Hi, I'm Jillian Meekin. Mark your calendar. We're going live at C2G Music Hall with another special Meet the Music broadcast on Thursday, February 21st, where we all have the best seat in the house. And this two-hour live show features Fred Rothert and Jill Mozina, Mark Maxwell saxophone duo, and Fair Fiola. That's C2G Music Hall, 323 West Baker Street. It's fun, it's free, and we hope you can join us there Thursday, February 21st at 7 to Meet the Music.
Good afternoon. I'm Sean Beter with WBOI News. Indiana's Republican House and Senate leaders will wait a year before they take up an effort to write the state's gay marriage ban into the Constitution. House Speaker Brian Bosma and Senate President Pro Tem David Long said Thursday that their respective caucuses decided the issue should wait until the 2014 session. Long and Bosma have said they are apprehensive of taking on the issue before the Supreme Court rules on related cases this summer. Social conservatives in the House and Senate had pressed them to tackle the issue this year. Lawmakers approved the constitutional ban in 2011, but must approve it again before the end of next year in order to amend it into the Constitution. The measure would then go on a ballot to give voters final say. The Indiana House Education Committee is signing off on a large expansion of the school voucher system in Indiana. The measure would remove a one-year waiting period students have to spend in public school before qualifying for a voucher and qualify wealthier families for the program in certain cases. The panel voted 9-3 on Thursday afternoon to send the measure to the full House of Representatives for consideration. The vote split along party lines, just as the issue has for much of the last 2 years. Governor Mike Pence announced this week he was supporting the bill, and it has the backing of the Republican leadership in the House. But the prospects of an expanded voucher system passing the Senate this year are not yet clear. And Indiana State senators are used to hearing from special guests during the legislative session. But Thursday, lawmakers had an out-of-this-world experience as NASA commander and Hoosier native Kevin Ford addressed the Senate from aboard the International Space Station. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith has more on that story.
Indiana State Senate, this is Mission Control in Houston.
Though the 12-second delay between the Senate floor and the space station caused some chuckles among the lawmakers and special guests, Commander Kevin Ford was able to speak to legislators and school children watching in classrooms around the state. Ford addressed the type of experiments he's conducting, his experience working with Russian cosmonauts, and even how he eats in space.
This has seasoned scrambled eggs on it. At the little top, at the top there is a little place where we can inject a needle and inject 100 milliliters of hot water in here, and you give it 15 minutes, and you let the seasoning mix in, and you have yourself some scrambled eggs.
Ford also spoke about his hope that the United States continues to pursue manned spaceflight.
We, frankly, are a country who is very blessed with a lot of assets and a lot of really great technical and technological skill sets, things that we can really contribute, I think, to the human race. And so it's almost, in my opinion, our obligation to do it.
Ford has spent 105 days on the space station and will return home in a little over a month. The Montpelier native is the younger brother of former state senator David Ford, who passed away in 2008. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
Quick check of the WBOI weather forecast on this Friday afternoon. Mostly cloudy skies expected throughout the day today with a high near 32 degrees. Overnight cloud cover continues, a low around 14. And going into the weekend on Saturday, the sun comes out, a high near 30. You're listening to Midday Matters here on WBOI Fort Wayne.
Welcome back to Friday Art-Centric Midday Matters here on WBOY. The time is 12:40. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 260-452-1185. You can always post on our Facebook Midday Matters page or email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm. I'm Sarah D'Elia, joined in the studio with Julia Meek.
Thank you, Sarah. And we are definitely still on an art-centric fact-finding mission this second half of the show, and we're ready to hear actually the story behind the story of What's Up, our beloved Entertainment Weekly magazine, with its owner and publisher Doug Driscoll, including Whammy Award awareness. And for that, Doug has brought this year's fearless Whammy MC, JJ Fabini. Welcome, both of you guys.
Thank
Hi
you.
Julia. Hi Sarah.
And we all don't take What's Up for granted. At least I personally don't, because I think we're so fortunate to have such a fantastic weekly entertainment. And I know, besides all the glitz and glamour that so many people think go with it, we've got the owner and editor who is probably here to debunk that myth, because it's a lot of hard work. And really, thank you, because you do such a wonderful job for the whole arts community.
Thank you.
Doug, and so 17th year for
yes.
What's Up.
Yes.
And
Doug had basically gotten tired of being a productive member of society.
Oh, okay.
And said, I don't want to get up and go to work every day. I don't want to have to leave my house. I'm going to find something where I can literally roll out of bed in my underwear, do my job, and then go back to bed.
I can't exactly do it in my underwear. there are ladies who come in and help me, and I think they'd probably be
another myth dispelled.
That's
but
correct.
Yes, thank you, JJ. That was probably a fair enough, and also easier to ask than what were you thinking.
Well, I he's partially right, because I was a newspaper publisher, and I knew the newspaper business. But I got sick of the corporate environment that I found myself in,
okay.
and was ready to get out of that, and didn't want to leave. So this was a way to keep doing what I do, but
But, well, on your own terms.
On my own terms, yeah. So I didn't know anything about the music business when I started this, and frankly, I still don't know much about the music business.
Well, you've hide it well, or you've built up a whole facade that indicates otherwise. And also, Sarah, for example, you know, you being here in the last couple of years, mm-hmm. Fort Wayne was without any kind of a meaningful entertainment magazine that other cities our size and certainly larger are used to enjoying. So it's really been quite something that you did begin way back then. And dare we gather that you, I know it's not easy work, but you have your rhythm and your routine as such so that you can carry on a weekly basis.
Yeah. It's my challenge is to build some sort of infrastructure that allows me to like go have a separate life. But as far as me getting it done personally, it's gotten to be just a routine. Yeah.
And good for you. And that brings us to something that we all look forward to in the whole art-centric scheme of things, and that's your yearly Whammy Awards.
And those are based on our readers' poll, which we do every year. Mm-hmm. And they'll be March 7th at Come to Go Music Hall this year, and it's going to be substantially different than it's been done in the past.
Let's take just a real quick walk through the history/mystery of the Whammy Awards, because they started out at Columbia Street West.
And
that was 13 years ago?
13 years ago.
Okay.
Those were crazy times.
Yeah.
They were crazy. I mean, you know, Columbia Street West in the back room isn't very big. It's a nice room. It's a great place to go on the weekends, hear a band. Girls like to go there and dance and stuff like that. But it's not a big room, and it's a small stage. And when the Whammies first started there, there were basically two separate areas. You had the main room where all of the guests and people that were there to see the music and everybody else were hanging out. And then you would go downstairs to where Bourbon Street is now.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the waiting room.
That was the VIP
area. The waiting room for everybody who was nominated for awards or presenters and things like that. And it was an open bar down there.
Yeah.
Okay. So we had all of these people, all of these musicians and all of these artists and people in the community all getting together with an open bar. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So you can understand.
I'm putting that scenario
together. Yeah. You can understand where that was going, yes. Right? And then someone had a job that they had to run between the stage upstairs and the VIP room downstairs and try to corral the next set of presenters, the next set of nominees, whatever it may be. And that was almost impossible.
It was a mess. The last year we did it there was just unbelievable chaos.
Mm-hmm. Well, you actually did outgrow the space, and it was a delightful, charming space. Yeah. I enjoyed it through those years, but you're right, the crunch was mm-hmm. it was almost humorous, but then not.
I think Hammer was your host that year.
Probably,
I think Hammer was your host that year, and I know that he was having a hard time trying just to keep everything together because of that.
It flowed. I mean, we got people where they were supposed to be when they were supposed to be there, but it was not easy.
It wasn't easy.
And you
it
finally did outgrow the space, right. And that was, as Sarah was my guest last year when we went for the entertainment, and I was very pleased to be asked to present an award. We were at Pierre's, then that's where we changed. We grew. And again, it's a great venue.
Yeah.
But how did that work as a space for
Well, Pierre's is such a large room. And part of it just became, the focus of it became such a different thing.
Right.
You know, it became more of an effort. We have to sell tickets. Let's get the place filled up. And
it's a hard room to fill.
And
indeed.
Right.
Yeah.
And basically, it lost the ambiance that we had with the musicians. And that's, the whole community.
The camaraderie.
And camaraderie that we had by getting all those musicians in one space and having a good time and just celebrating their music and just partying, basically.
Yeah.
Sure.
We lost a lot of that. And that's why we really wanted to change the focus around.
And it was a nice time to, in the natural time of things, it was a great time to yet again look for a new way to do this. And I would like to remind our listeners that this is WBOI's Midday Matters, certainly very art-centric Friday that we're having here. And we are enjoying learning what's up from Doug Driscoll, the owner and editor or publisher of What's Up himself. And We're talking in particular Whammy Awards, and for that we have J.J. Fabini, Mr. Rock, Rock Fort Wayne, here, and you are the this year's
MC.
MC?
Yeah, that's right. I've done it for a few years now. I'm not sure how many. I think basically the way, it's five or six, something like that. Doug's attitude towards things like this is, hey, you didn't screw up last year, so you want to do it again?
That is, he does have a real way with praise and incentive, right. and beyond that, it's always fun
he's gotten very good at this. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's it should be noted first of all that it was a real pleasure doing it at Pierre's and working with the production crew.
Yeah,
those guys over there. Mm-hmm. They're amazing.
Do rock it. Yes.
They're
to get
amazing,
that done.
Mm-hmm. And to set up two different stages and coordinate all that stuff, and they had a great team of guys that were loading equipment in and out, and because we were doing performances every 20 minutes basically, mm-hmm. on mm-hmm. two different stages, mm-hmm. and they were able to pull all that stuff together. And we know that we're going to have a great time at C to G as well, and they've got a great staff down there.
And they've got a great stage.
And they've got a great stage.
It's just going to be downsized a little bit.
Yeah, it's just a little bit smaller, but the intimacy is coming back to the Whammies, which is what I'm excited about.
Well, that's the whole point, is we want it to be mostly musicians there, and mm-hmm. we want them to have a chance just to get together. Mm-hmm. It's just... There's been a little less of a sense of community, I think, among the musicians in town. It's something that sort of comes and goes.
As time goes on,
I think the last couple mm-hmm. of years, there's been some of that's been lost. And this is just a chance for them to get in the same room together, get reacquainted with each other. And the music that we're going to do this year is going to be mostly bands that have sort of flown under the radar. A little bit. Okay. It's not going to be...
He hasn't even told me who's playing.
Yeah, no, it's a secret. He closes his eyes when he even writes the information down.
Well, and bands are free to tell people they're coming. That we gave them a few extra tickets so they can invite friends and, family. But they can announce it any way they want, but we're not going to... make any advanced announcement about it, and I'm kind of toying with the idea of not even having a schedule out there that day, so that this X band comes on and mm-hmm. you get to experience for yourself and wonder who's that.
Right,
that's a cute little way to offer some teasers to a fun event, and people can still be quite assured that they're going to have a wonderful musical time.
Yeah,
hear great music, see great musicians and friends, and like you say, put the focus on sort of celebrating their own art centricity.
Right.
Yeah, that's cool. And it's good to just be talking about C to G as well. And those guys have done an amazing job with the room, with the venue that's down there. They're starting to book some great shows mm-hmm. into that space. And it just looks fantastic when you walk in. The stage, like you mentioned, is beautiful. The production that they do there
is first rate.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of hard work and a lot of money that has gone into that space. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the more people that get to go and experience a show at C to G, the better, I think.
Right. That's a point, JJ, because they do offer such a variety,
absolutely.
Not the least of which Sarah will be joining me for a live Meet the Music broadcast.
Oh, from C to G.
From mm-hmm. C to G.
Perfect.
In February. Just for example, they really do have such a scope and such a wide variety. They have no genre left behind left behind. Now it's going to be Whammy World.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of the Whammies and talking about some of the winners of the Whammy Awards, I wanted to kind of dive in a little bit about the mechanics of picking the winners and the different categories. And
this is Doug's favorite topic.
I thought it might be.
Loves talking about this.
Because, there are, people, it's picked by the readers. That's how the voting process is. But there are some folks out there that think that,
it's rigged.
It's rigged. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the part I love.
Well, it starts with the nomination process.
What we do is we send out emails or letters to everybody who's an advertiser. That includes a lot of musicians if they're in a musician finder program. That includes them as well. Anybody who was in the Battle of the Bands. Anybody who's a contributor to Fort Wayne. And we sent, not to Fort Wayne, but to What's Up in mm-hmm. some fashion. And we ask for nominations, and those are just, here's this category, give us two names. Mm-hmm. And about 50% of the people that we send them out to get back to us, most of them only nominate people in a category that they're familiar with.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. We have a stipulation that if you nominate yourself in a category, you must nominate somebody else, mm-hmm. or we throw the nomination away. because you get two picks in each category. And from that, we simply put a ballot together that has to fit on a printed page. And so we sort of look for breaks in the numbers. For instance, like if you have 12 nominations and the next one is 6, then that's probably where the break is, you know. And then we do the voting. It's almost all online now over a 2-week period. And then we get to work on putting the show together and getting the awards done and that
and
sort of
so
thing.
And so as far as you know, and especially we don't think there's any dangling chads or anything else that would say one vote per person and they vote. And that's how things are determined.
Right. And we've done some things this year in particular to tighten up things a little bit more. We get your IP address when you... when you vote. So in the past, I would physically manually count these things out, right, which would take hours and hours and hours and hours. Now we're doing it on the computer, but we have a way of just going in and what would happen in the past is somebody would sit at their computer, do one ballot, then they'd do another one with somebody else's name, and then another one with somebody else's name, and I'd be into 2 or 3 of them, and I'd realize, wait a minute, these are all the same as the last two. And so that's eliminated now entirely.
That's great.
But it's I couldn't care less who wins. I want that out there.
I can attest to that. He does not care. All right. And the thought that there is some sort of grand scheme or something notorious going on behind the scenes, to me, knowing Doug is just one of the funniest things. Because people say that to me, I can't believe this, and it's unfair, and this should have happened, and this should have happened. It's obviously rigged. I'm like, dude, you have no idea how unrigged this is. It really, really isn't. And I think it's funny. I really do. And I get it. I understand why some people are upset or bitter. I mean, I understand that because as soon as you are grading art in a way, that really touches, a personal cord inside of you. You know what I mean? And people can definitely get upset about that. And, I've never won one. I've been nominated a bunch of times, but I've never won one. And after a while, it's just like, okay, this is never going to happen for me. It's Doc West. Doc West is going to win this award. I know that's going to happen.
JJ, I feel your pain.
Yeah, you too. Absolutely.
And I also have to let you clue everybody in. I'm not necessarily known for my Pollyanna type attitude on things,
sure,
but I really do like to tell folks to me the whole thing. I mean, if you are nominated or even considered as a nomination,
it's cool.
You're a winner.
And
this year you're invited to the Whammy Award.
Well, every year all the nominees are invited. And hopefully just being nominated, I hope they get the sense that this in and of itself is an honor. Because Sunny Taylor is going to continue to win every Whammy Award that she's up for the next 10 years. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is a small, basically small town. And once you've made, set yourself out there as the jazz guy or the,
And she's the singer-songwriter. Right.
Pardon me?
And she's the singer-songwriter. Sunny is.
Yeah. I'm not saying she's winning anything.
Well,
this
it seems
year,
to be that way.
I think she's got 30 of these on her wall.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's amazing. And you have to remember that a lot of times when people are going in to vote, they're there to vote for one category. My friend's been nominated for this thing, so I'm going to go for this category. So all of a sudden they're filling out a ballot and then they're looking at these things. Well, I've never heard of any. Oh, I've heard of Sunny Taylor. Okay, I'll vote for her. And that's how a lot of that works.
Or I'll vote for the one at the top.
Sure. Because when you have open voting, anybody can come in and vote, and that's how it's going to happen.
Yeah. I must say, it's really cool. When I, was in going into my first year this time last year, I, went to vote because I wanted to vote for Julia.
Yeah.
But there were all these people that I had no idea who they were, and it made me go look them up and be like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. And so I got exposed to different music and different artists that I was like, I have no idea who you are. Let me go look at it. So I think voting in and of itself can be an educational process when you're voting for the Whammies.
I think that you're right about that. And there's always a goal to make things better. In anything that you do, you try to do it better the next time that you do it. And Doug's been doing this for a long time. He's been doing it for 13 years. And this year, he's making a move to try to make the Whammies better. And he talked about his IP address checks and things like that so that people can't double vote. Moving the awards to come to go into a smaller, more intimate venue where it's going to be more about the nominees and the musicians than it has been in the past few years about trying to get, like you said, you know, butts in seats and people through the door. You know, so taking this back to sort of the roots of mm-hmm. what the Whammies were all about, and I think that's a great idea. And Doug's always going to try to make it better every single year.
Thank you, JJ.
You're welcome. You know, nothing's ever perfect, but I think that you do a good job.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And you're not just saying that since you're the MC this year.
Or to
believe me, yeah, yeah.
No, I think
not.
He wants to be a winner this year.
Yeah, that's it.
No, that's right. I think that you should vote for Julia.
Oh, isn't that
I'll
nice.
Pay you for that after the show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot.
We're both nominated in the same category, yeah.
But we are so, we can't thank Doug Driscoll for week in and week out for 17 years. Publishing What's Up, so we do really know what's up, and we do know what to do mm-hmm. tonight. You
that's
know,
right.
that's quite something, and we do thank you for putting together the 13th Annual Whammy Award and including all of us and now letting folks know what's up. And, of course, haha. Of course, it's always a good to shout out to C2G because it's going to be a wonderful venue mm-hmm. and a wonderful place to celebrate
yeah.
all mm-hmm. things music. Mm-hmm.
And we have just about a minute and a half in today's program. But, Doug, for those folks that aren't nominees and won't be attending this year's Whammies, or they can't, how are they going to find out about the winners who won the next day?
We're doing that a little differently, too. Obviously, there's no revenue stream for this show this year, so I've cut a few other expenses, including editorial expenses. We won't be doing the kinds of write-ups that we did in the past, but the issue immediately afterwards, and I should mention Bob Rhodes, who is on a completely volunteer basis, is taking photographs of all the winners.
I would certainly hope so.
We have what I like to call trophy babes. I hope that doesn't get me into trouble, but we found a fellow named Jeff Walker who works for a fashion magazine, and he has secured for us four models who will be serving as escorts and trophy presenters to get people back and forth to the awards and to the photo area. And so it's going to be a little glitzier than it has in the past.
I'm liking this more and more.
Yeah.
You had JJ at trophy and then a babe.
But yeah, the following week's issue, we'll have it. We'll have everything in the paper. We'll also have everything online.
Great. Well, thank you both so much for being a part of today's
thank
program.
Thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And anytime that I can come back and talk to you guys about how much I love everything you do, please let me know.
Will do.
Seriously.
Support for Midday Matters on WBOI is provided by Unitarian Universalist Congregational Music and Old Mill Road Concert Series, hosting Dr. Hamilton Tescarolo, February 23rd, 7:30 p.m. Details at uufortwayne.org. This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1. We're streaming online at nipr.fm. This is WBOY Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University. We're coming up on 1 o'clock, and Fresh Air is up next.